Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Yes. You are the light. The phrase I like to use for myself is I am a radiating center of light and love. And I feel that coming from my heart. I feel that coming from my mind and my consciousness. I am a radiating center of light and love, radiating the goodness of God, radiating the presence of love, radiating all that I wish to be and all that I wish to see in the world. We have to give that which we desire to have, right? And we give out of our beingness. We give out of the fullness of God's presence. We don't give out of a sense of lack and limitation. We give out of the fullness of life, knowing that we are blessed on every hand. Regardless of the situation and the circumstance, we are blessed on every hand. And still, I can rise. Well, this morning I have been moved to talk about a subject that I rarely speak on in a Sunday service, during a Sunday service. I usually save the message or the topic for funerals and memorials. And of course, the subject is death. Now, it's a subject that sort of many feel uncomfortable talking about, especially if it may indicate your impending death. Most people don't want to talk about that. It's almost as if we believe that if you don't mention it or you don't speak about it, it'll simply go away. It's like we think we can hide. If we hide deep enough, death won't find us. And there's a truth to this concept of death not finding us. Yet we know that it is an experience that most will undergo, right? And I say most because some may have the consciousness that they can transcend and not go through this transitional period. Some people feel that it's a morbid topic. Oh, I don't want to talk about that, you know? And some of us move through life as if it will never happen to us. And so we don't plan, we don't prepare. And I know what it's like. As serving as a minister for quite some time, I know what it's like and what happens when families and people aren't prepared. The soul, of course, is fine, but those left behind are struggling and trying to get things together. Our house is not in order, and I even include myself in that process because I don't have the things that I should have in order like I should. I've got money in the bank, but nobody knows where it is. You know what I'm saying? My family would have to run around and figure out, well, what bank does she bank in and where's her papers and where's her stuff? Because I don't have it in order. One of the things that I admired by one of our congregants, Henry Edmonds. You remember Henry Edmonds? And I just never forget, when Henry made her, she had all her stuff. She gave me everything laid out how she wanted it and where everything was and how to do it. And it made it so much easier for family and friends to carry on. But yet most of us go through life as if we're not going to prepare for any of that. If I don't address it, I won't have to experience it. And, you know, we do that. But think about this. Death is a part of life. And that may sound like a cliche because, you know, we always hear, oh, death is a part of life. But that is also true. It is a part of life. Now, this past week, there were two dear souls who made their transition this week. And from these two souls, I learned so much about the art of living while in the midst of dying. So much from them. One of my friends is part of a group that I belong to, and she was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. But she really lived her life fully. And both these ladies lived their lives fully, and they fought hard through the diagnosis. You know, they still had a commitment to live within the diagnosis. And one of my friends, but you know, she would have chemo on one day, and the next day she would be on a plane to some foreign country so she could go take pictures of, she likes photography. And so she would do that, and I mean, it was just amazing to watch how she lived her life. Constantly traveling, it was an adventure for her, never letting anything grow under her feet, constantly moving and doing and sharing. She would have parties, she had a house in the country, and she called it her tree house. And she would invite people to come and to party. She'd have chemo, and then she'd have her party in her tree house. One time, and her cancer before it spread, was in her pelvic area, and it was hard for her to walk. And we were having a golf tournament, and it was a golf tournament for ladies in the group that I belonged to. And there she was with her wig on, because she'd lost all her hair, her wig on, and with the pain in her legs and hard to move, golfing. And look, out hitting me and several other people. You understand what I'm saying? And never let it stop. It was pain, but who cared? She did not care. She lived fully and completely through the process. She would send out these wonderful newsletters about what she was doing, and all of us were fascinated because she was doing more with her life than we were with ours. And it was such an inspiration just to watch the process. And the other friend and congregant, she would go to jazz concerts and healing circles and retreats and continue with her spiritual process and her spiritual journey and teaching, still teaching even me when I went to see her, telling me I needed to make sure I had my feet on the ground so that when I was doing my spiritual energy work that I was grounded and I needed to pull the energy from the earth, still teaching. While in the midst of dying. So the point is that I never saw, nor I heard them engage in a pity party or giving in or giving up, right? Still I rise. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. That they lived fully until they were blessed with the experience of a new life, a new experience this week. Now, last week, we celebrated Holy Week and Easter, the holiday that's the apex of Christianity, because everything centers around this one week, right? It's the highlight for Christians. And while some may think that it focuses on a message of death and crucifixion, it really carries the message of life. And, you know, whenever I think of my colleagues from traditional Christian background, I cannot help but think how powerful Christianity would be if the focus was really on the resurrection as opposed to the crucifixion. You know, most of my colleagues offer the message that emphasizes how Jesus died for your sins. It's about the crucifixion. It's about his death on the cross. But imagine, can you imagine how many more would actually come if the focus was on how he rose and how he resurrected so that you may live? What if that was the central message that every Christian leader and minister would espouse? Oh, he rose so you may live, so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What if that were the crucial and central message? See, the message then would not be on guilt or on shame or on our unworthiness and sinful nature, right? It wouldn't be on how sinful you are and how unworthy you are, how bad you are, that Jesus had to die on the cross because you are a sinner. What if the, you know, that's a heavy, that's a lot to carry. That's a heavy load to bear. But what if it was on and still your divine sonship, your heirship as a son or a daughter of God, of the Most High? You were endowed with the infinite possibilities to overcome. You have a victorious nature. What if that were what we heard from little children? We would be so far ahead. We would be so far ahead. And yet that's the message. That is the ultimate message. Life that transcends death. See, what we know, if we had this alternate view, we would know then, we would know that life transcends death, right? We would know that it transcends death as some kind of final expression. You know, sometimes people say, well, death is the final act. If we understood and knew the truth, we would not see it as the final act. But actually, through the power of resurrection, we would see that there is no death as a permanent state of being. There is no death as a permanent state of being. Because, see, this is what the way it works. If you truly believe that life itself is eternal, then there can be no death. You can't have life and death. If life as a spiritual principle and essence and makeup of God is eternal, there can be no death. What it is it's only a temporary measure of life. Death is simply a transitional period in life, not in death. It is a transitional period in life. So, think of this, the 23rd Psalm, so well known, we learned it as children. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As I move through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anything. Thou art with me. God is with us. With us in whatever our situation, whatever our circumstance. And therefore, God, as we know, is absolute good. Therefore, there is no evil. Not evil as it comes from God. There is evil that is created by who? Mankind. Humankind. But the creation of God is always absolute good. What God creates from Genesis, he already declared, and it is good. So there is no evil, right? So if there's no evil, there's nothing to fear. If God is with us, why should I fear anything, even death, if God as life is with me? Every step of the way, the divine is present, closer than my breathing. God is present, nearer than my hands and feet. God's essence of life is present. Because you see, death is only a shadow. It is only a shadow, and it is a fool who fears his own shadow. Right? It's a fool. You know that it's a shadow. There's a wonderful little YouTube about a little baby who sees his shadow. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, and it's so cute because he's trying to get away from the shadow. And everywhere he runs. But then it frightens him because he can't get away from it. And so he's crying, he's, you know, hollering and screaming, afraid of the shadow. That's a child. When I was a child, I did childish things. I thought like a child. But when I became a full-grown man, woman, I put away childish things, right? I know the truth. Who is afraid of a shadow? Death is simply a shadow. And the truth of the matter is when you live in the light of truth, then you can dispel the shadows of life, even the fear of death. Now, since
Eternity is happening now. Do you realize? You are in the midst of eternity right now. Eternity doesn't happen when you die. Then you get to experience. Eternity is right now. It's happening now. And life is what we are experiencing now. And life is what you will experience later. Now is the time, the Bible says, of the appointed time, the acceptable time. So it is now. Life is now. Eternity is now. And so if that's the case, why not live life to the fullest? No more living in the shadows. No more living in the shadow of fear. No more living in the shadow of tomorrow. No more living in the shadow of the unknown. See, that's why we're afraid of death, because we don't know it. We think, oh, it's unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't have to know what's going to happen. All you need to know is that God is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because what? Thou art with me. That's all you need to know. Wherever you are, what? God is. And all is well. So why are we fearing? We ought to understand that no more will I live in the shadows. No more will I let things spook me and scare me and afraid to live. You know? This is a precious gift we have. And some of us are so afraid to live it. We want to protect it. We want to preserve it. So we stay in a little box. And God didn't give you this life for that reason. It is to be lived fully and freely. So you want to get it in now. Get it all in now, right? No more hesitating. No more procrastinating. No more ruminating. And any other kind of nating. None of that. It's about now. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. Life is to be lived now. And it is to be lived with a certain consciousness. Unity minister and author of this little book, How to Speak Unity, Temple Hayes, she answers a lot of questions and statements about unity. And this is one question that says, do we believe in death? And this is what Temple writes. She says, spiritually speaking, no one can ever die. It is not possible. As on the most basic level, we are energy. And energy is not capable of dying. Within the principle of life, there can be no death. We know we will die a physical death at some point, and we know that it is not the end of ourselves. Physical death is a transition during which we exchange our physical energy form for another form of energy. However, we may die while we are physically still alive if we're not choosing to live life fully in every moment. And that's possible, too. Often, if we want to avoid death, we may also avoid truly living, right? If you think you're hiding from death and I'll stay in my house and maybe not go outside and maybe death won't find me, well, you're not living either. You're already gone. It says we may die energetically and psychologically long before we die physically. Or we may choose to allow parts of ourselves to die, as stated in the Jungian philosophy, in order that our greater selves may live. But in unity, we are more concerned with truly living, because we know death is not the end for us. It is a new beginning. It is life. Life that is spiral in nature, forever evolving as we are. Life is spiral in nature, forever evolving as we are. I love that particular last line, because I see that as how I view life, and I see it how I view my own sense of growth in consciousness as a spiral. You know, it goes this way, right? So life doesn't go this way. I think it grows this way, and it expands even greater and greater and wider and wider. And so does my understanding of life. As I'm growing in consciousness and in awareness, I'm expanding my consciousness wider and wider and wider with greater understanding, because the purpose of life is to evolve. And it is to evolve in consciousness. It is not to maintain this physical being for eternity. It is to maintain and evolve one's consciousness. Have you ever found yourself saying, well, I thought I learned that lesson before. But here it is again. Well, you may indeed have learned it previously, but now you have an opportunity to take it deeper, to take the lesson deeper, to understand it at an even deeper level, because this is growth in consciousness. Oh, now I understand that same lesson, but now from a deeper perspective, right? And we must always be about growing and expanding our consciousness. And here's why. This is why it's important. Because the only thing that dissipates and dissolves in death is the physical body. And even that just actually changes its energetic composition. See, the body maybe dissolves and goes back into the earth, but it also becomes something else, right? Energy, nurture. So even that doesn't cease. The body doesn't cease. It merely changes its form. But here's the key. What is also important to understand that does not cease is our souls. And your soul continues on in its journey of life. And your soul, we like to say in New Thought, your soul is simply the sum total of consciousness. It is the sum total of all of your thoughts, your feelings, your perceptions, your attitudes, your beliefs. All that comprises your soul. You have a spirit, which is your divine energetic life animating energy of God in you. And you have a soul, mind. You have spirit, mind, and body. You have that soul, which is all the sum total of awareness and consciousness. And then you have your physical being, right? So your soul, the body changes form, but the soul goes along with you. This is the important part that you need to understand, because it is not that, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned with our death. We need to have more of an awareness of our living. You know, your consciousness moves with you in spirit. And so we need to be concerned about the quality and the nature of our consciousness while we are in the midst of life and living, because that is what you are going to take with you into the kingdom of heaven. You take your consciousness with you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is such a powerful phrase for us to really, really understand this whole concept of the kingdom of heaven and consciousness. Ernest Holmes, who is a great metaphysician and the leader and founder of the religious science movement, he says this, and he's quoting scripture. And he says, what is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Meaning, when he says that, meaning death changes nothing. We continue as we are. And then he says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, meaning the transition through which we pass in physical death does not necessarily change our mental images. In other words, this is what you need to get. It doesn't necessarily change our thoughts. And when I read that, I went, uh-oh. You mean the same garbage that I'm carrying in my mind can be the same garbage that I'm going to carry into the kingdom of heaven consciousness? Uh-oh. I may not want to have that. What you bound on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose in earth is loosed in heaven. Now, do you remember last week when I mentioned we were talking about the Easter experience? And I talked about the angel who was in the tomb and who told Mary to make sure that she went and told the disciples, especially Peter, to get to Galilee, to that high consciousness of life, and that that's where they were going to meet Jesus as the risen Christ. Well, here's why it's so important for the angel to have put Peter in this. And I'm reading this. Because this happened, this is a statement that Jesus engaged in before his, of course, resurrection. And he was still with his disciples teaching and working with them. And this is from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. And he says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied,
Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he asked them, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, and whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven. And then he sternly warned them not to tell anybody that he was the Messiah. Now, Jesus, believe it or not, was talking about your consciousness. Whatever consciousness you bind on earth will be the same consciousness that you're going to bind in heaven. Whatever consciousness you loose or release or let go or open up to on earth will be the same consciousness that you're able to release, open up to, and let to in heaven. In other words, the quality of your consciousness while here on earth, be it positive or be it negative, will be your experience in heaven. And heaven, we know, is simply a state of consciousness. And the kingdom of heaven is an exalted consciousness, an exalted state. So what Jesus is saying, look, the kingdom of heaven is in your hand. The keys are in your hand. Whatever goes on in your consciousness is what you're going to experience in heaven, in the consciousness of the divine, in the presence of the divine. So you don't want necessarily to get caught taking your low consciousness, your low vibration in the kingdom of heaven, and then get locked and bound in that state, in that vibration. You want to raise your consciousness to the highest height here and now, because heaven is what? Here and now. You are preparing right now. You don't wait until you die to all of a sudden be transformed. You need to be transformed right here and right now. This is what's happening. You don't want to carry a consciousness of fear and death and limitation into your soul awareness. You want to always speak life. Speak life into your spirit. Speak life into your consciousness. Speak life even in the midst of death, because that is what's going to feed your soul, and that is what's going to enable you to transcend to the heights, the higher heights of life. And that is what will follow you in life even after death. Because life and death, it's simply rebirth and rebirth. We're being reborn. We're being born again, born anew. We are being born into a new consciousness. And what we're doing right now is we're building upon the life that we're living here on earth. What you bound in earth, we're building on this consciousness so that we can build on the consciousness of heaven, the consciousness that we will experience and express. So the question is, what are you binding to you? What are you releasing in your consciousness? And you need to be very aware of what is taking place and what's going on in your inner world of thought. Don't think that there's some idle thoughts. The Bible tells you there's no idle thoughts. You better watch everything, because everything has a purpose, and it's binding to you or it's freeing you. So what's the content of your character that you carry within you? Because that becomes a part of your soul nature. What's the vibration you are carrying right now? Is it high or is it low? And you know you've come in contact with people who carried a high vibration, and you've come in contact with people who carried a low vibration. And if you weren't careful, that low vibration will pull you down unless you were aware, right? What's the content of your character, and what's the quality of the vibration you carry? Is it full of love and light and peace, or is it full of fear and negativity, limitation? Eternity begins right now. And you hold the keys to the kingdom right in your hand. So you need to ask yourself, am I living fully? Am I living like there is no tomorrow? Because I don't want to wait to die, to get to heaven, to be transformed. Because that process comes in your living
right here and right now. The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus said. It is within you. It is now. It is present. It's within your consciousness. And now is the accepted time to live and to be renewed in your spirit, in your mind, in your body, in your heart, and in your soul. No one knows the hour or the day when our death will come. But that doesn't even matter. What matters is that we live our days and we live our hours and we live our time being fully present in the highest energy and the highest consciousness, now and every moment, because any moment could be the moment. Eternity begins now. So live it well. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Yes.